What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Trendsetters. I'm super excited to have on my friend Griffin Johnson on the show today. Appreciate you coming on, man. Super pumped.
I'm glad to be here, Jesse. I've seen some of your podcasts, so I had to indulge and see what it's all about.
Dude, I've been meaning to get this scheduled since December, and finally we got it on the books. So first off, something we were talking about before we started recording was just how much of a shift your life has been through over the last, it's been a while since last December, almost a year now, but yeah. Give us the brief rundown of the last 10 months of your life before I start digging in.
Dude, whenever I met you, I was actually sleeping on couches in LA, like randomly. So that was before Sway was a thing. I guess since then we all got together as a group and everyone kind of knows all the stuff we do. And it's completely different, man. Like if I were to even look at myself, I don't even think I look the same. And I could say that for all of us. I look back at old pictures and videos. It's just like, dude, things have changed so much for me and the group. And just like, you know, now it's, I think from then to now, I probably had like, what, 2 million on TikTok. Now I'm a 10. Like, yeah, dude, it's just completely different. I wouldn't even know how to explain it. I don't know where to start.
Are we thanking or blaming Michael Gruen?
We're going to thank Michael for sure. Everyone's seen him on TikTok room now. He's put in some good words lately. He's got some paparazzi. I mean,
they're a big fan of the Crocs fit. I'm a huge fan of it.
Dude.
The white t-shirt and Crocs. He rocks it.
If he doesn't get a sponsor from Crocs and Hanes t-shirts, then I don't know who.
They don't know what they're doing. Yeah, no, that's a big mistake on their end. Well, I think the cool thing is when we met, you were still in Illinois. At college, that must have been November because you were still there and you said you were visiting LA, but you didn't live there. You were in school. This is pre-pandemic, pre-corona. Yeah. I don't think you expected to turn this into like a real thing. What sort of was that shift from being your normal college student that also posted videos on TikTok to now you can't go to dinner without the paparazzi harassing you?
Dude, like, you know, I would say it's a little bit of one of those things where the boys and I were just a group that if you tried to make a group like that, it would never work. It was just one of those things where we, all of us had no idea like what was going to happen, but our dynamic was like, we just have such strong like connection. It just kind of worked out. Like I never guessed. It took me like a whole semester of college to decide whether I was actually going to move to LA. Or if I was going to stay in school, you know, the boys ended up meeting Michael and he kind of gave us like a plan. And I don't know, we just went all into it, man. Like it was from 0 to 100. I was like, I am not leaving school. Like I'm going to go visit and that's it. To, all right, I don't even have a house to live in yet, but I'm going to move out there and sleep on couches. So definitely have to thank him. And, you know, I'm just thankful that it all worked out because if not, it wouldn't be looking so good for me right now.
Totally. But I think that's part of the game. It's like you jumped and took the risk when the moment rose up and clearly paid off. But I think you sort of have to take that bet to see what happens. Otherwise, you're sort of playing the what if game for the rest of your life.
Yeah, dude. People always ask me if I like gambling and I always say no. But now I remember
in real life, you do.
I took one of the biggest gambles there is.
Yeah, dude. And what's it been like? Like you're from Indiana moving to LA. That's a jump, I'd assume.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that in itself is just crazy. Like I barely ever left my state growing up. I went on a couple of trips, you know, and like did some stuff. But all I pretty much knew was a farm town of 10,000 people. And now it's like I walk down the sidewalk and see 10,000 people.
It's so insane.
Just that shift alone was culture shock for me. Like, I remember the first time walking through LA, it's like, this is real. Like, this part of the world exists. For me, I had literally just a little bit of taste from tour from the summer before. But other than that, it was like a complete new game for me.
Yeah, just LA is a cult. Like, I've been going to LA for way too many years and just the culture shock every time I'm there, even from New York City, it's two completely different worlds. And I can't even imagine coming from the Midwest, moving there, the people, the scene, the everything must have been wild.
Dude, I honestly can't exactly remember anymore because I live here, but I definitely do remember coming to LA and even my, like all my friends at school and everyone's like, dude, like how is it? Because where I'm from, I would say over 50% of the people have never seen the West Coast, especially LA.
Yeah, so. It's wild. That's absolutely insane. I want to get into more TikTok and sort of your background in a bit, but how the fuck does Bob Menery come into the picture? That's so dope.
Everyone asked that. Bob and I were just, we were just chilling. I met him before the pandemic, actually. One of our friends had a party and he was sitting there kind of talking about like money moves. And you know me, I had to listen. I didn't care if I was at a party or not. So we ended up hitting it off and thought of some good plans and made a really good, you know, relationship. And one day I was just talking about podcasts and he mentioned it to me and we kind of just put it together.
And how's it been so far? You having fun with it?
Dude, yeah. Bob is great. He's hilarious. We've had a lot of good feedback from people that have watched it. They said it's super entertaining. So that's kind of like what we're going for. We're basically just bringing on cool guests and talking about like really cool, trendy, fun things and just having fun with it. So
yeah, that's so sick. And I think one of the interesting things, I mean, I've spoken to you about and I'm sure Michael has spoken to you guys about is like, you don't want to just be the guy who's on TikTok. I think you probably have goals that are way further than that. What's been it like getting into the podcast space, getting into the investment space? What's that transition been from in literally less than a year, from student to influencer to investor to podcast host to everything else you're doing? Like, how are you learning? Are you learning by doing, learning by doing research, by meeting people? What's been your strategy for sort of becoming a fast expert in all those different areas?
I mean, I would say, you know, Michael helps me out a lot for sure. He gives me a lot of great connections, gives me a lot of great advice and teaches me. As far as me learning myself, it's kind of like I just throw myself in. I mess up a lot, get yelled at by Michael.
That's the best.
I have like really good mentors along the way that kind of help me. But to be honest, dude, the main reason I learn from it is because I spend the time doing it. Like every single thing I learn from, I'll spend hours and hours and hours listening or getting advice or like whatever. I wouldn't say I'm necessarily an expert in any of them yet, but I have put in, you know, the time to at least find which avenue I want to take and like, you know, just kind of get educated on where I want to go necessarily.
Yeah, no, I think that's super interesting. And I think once again, it all comes back to even on TikTok. Like, I don't think you were going into it thinking you were going to become an expert on content creation and building a base of 10 million people. It sort of just happened and you learned along the way. And so it worked.
Yeah, like that's a crazy thing too, because before I did TikTok, I had social media, but I remember that there was people posting on TikTok and they were like tagging me and they were like blowing up. That's kind of how I got into it. But like, I remember they would ask for my at, like what's his at on Instagram or whatever. They would put it, and I hadn't posted in like 8 months. It had almost been a year since I had posted. Like I did not use social media. I didn't have a Twitter that I used, like nothing.
You didn't have a LinkedIn either?
No, I just got a LinkedIn.
Like, I remember we were on Clubhouse and we finally got it set up. Outstanding profile picture, by the way.
Dude, that's like my senior year. No, that's my freshman year of college before I was like when I was going in.
Your professor posting the good luck on social media. If only he knew.
Dude.
That was unreal.
A lot of my professors, dude, like they have no clue. It's like, it's funny because, you know, I did switch over to business and they'll teach about companies and things that like I literally work with the people.
And you also realize how different, like it's something I've learned too from being in school. And like you learn these case studies or things, and I know for a fact some of them are a decade outdated because I'm doing it today. And I'm like, dude, you're talking about a company that I currently work with, and I know that's not how it's done.
Yeah, that's another thing too.
But you're not you don't want to say it because you don't want to fail. Like, you sort of just, it's insane.
I literally want to go into colleges and just like destroy the entire system. Because
I think it's the network that you build in some school. But the concern is like, if you take certain majors, I think it's super valuable for some. I think it's valuable for maturity on others. But like some industries, you'll literally go into a class and like you're not, the info you're learning has nothing to, like how much calculus have you used in your business life to date? How much physics have you used? How much chemistry? How much social studies have you used?
maybe a little bit of social studies just because maybe some past things, but like that's stretching it very far.
Yeah. Like it versus learning how to do accounting or personal finance or the basic stuff that you sort of need to know how to do if you want to run a business or just pay attention to your books.
Yeah. I think college is good just for the maturing part and like having to network and like kind of fend for yourself. Like as far as school goes, dude, I don't think I'm ever going to use an ounce of what I've learned in college for anything in my life.
I can guarantee you've learned more in the last 11 months than you've learned in your 17 years of school.
Guaranteed.
It's unreal.
It's more for character development, but yeah, definitely.
I totally agree.
Like education wise, dude, no way.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good experience for maturing socially, living on your own, having to deal with your own shit, not of your like parents to catch you and all that stuff. But education wise, like, I just think there's so much better experience by actually doing.
100%, of course.
Moving forward, obviously, now you're in the podcast game, TikTok. Where does that sort of play in on your plans moving forward? Where's your head at over the next couple months?
To be honest, dude, podcasting for me is just like, it was like a fun side hustle. Like, but I would say definitely like my overall goal is hosting. I'm building out a lot of shows and a lot of my content now based around building my portfolio to be a host. So I guess podcasts is just like another thing that I saw and realized that it could help me. And it's just another tool in my arsenal that I wanted to build. But yeah, I mean, if something were to take off, of course, I would definitely keep it going. But it's not really like my overall goal. My main focus right now is just to be a host.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. And what was it like in your circle when all of the confusion was going around about future of TikTok and sort of what like that must have, just from talking with people in that circle, must have been an interesting couple of weeks or months for you guys.
Are you talking about when it was potentially getting banned?
Yeah, when they were thinking about getting rid of it.
I mean, it was definitely an interesting time. I still don't know what's going on with it, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does.
It's like, yeah, it's getting banned. No, it's not getting banned. Yeah, it's getting banned. Like, it's just a back and forth battle, really. And I don't know if anyone actually knows what's going on. But we were very, I would say, interested in seeing what would happen with it. You know, we're focusing on Triller as well right now. So regardless, yeah. Had like a backup plan. But
how cool is that, by the way, getting involved with like a venture backed startup?
Dude, I mean, it's like those are things that you could never predict. It's just like you're going along with life, doing your thing, and then boom, like it just kind of happened. None of us like planned anything. It was just a little bit of luck and a little bit of know-how, and it just kind of formed in. But it's definitely cool to be a part of.
Yeah, no, it's super, super, super cool to get that. Once again, experience that you're not learning anywhere else, but by actually doing it.
What I'm saying, man, some of it's just we're just chilling in life, and it just goes, you know, boom, 0 to 100.
Moving a little bit from TikTok and business more to personal, when I have a tiny amount of like hate or pushback on something, I mean, it's always been the don't pay attention to it. And it's so easy to say, like, don't pay attention to the hate, like ignore it. And then you're the receiver of it. And it's like, fuck, it's not that easy. Like, I want to read it. I have 1/1000th of the response that you get on your social. You've been through very public relationships, very public, a whole bunch of stuff. What has that been like? And how do you sort of deal with that?
Dude,
especially when the paparazzi and media are literally following you around to your dinners, your houses. Like you can't, at least I can escape to an apartment and nobody knows where I live. You can't.
Dude, you're talking to the king of hate rant, like right now.
It's insane.
I'm not going to lie. I basically had to train myself not to like care. Like it's easy to say that. And a lot of people are like, oh, just like don't pay attention. Like,
but then you want to see it.
Yeah. It took me many months. And it still bothers me at points. Like sometimes I see comments, I'll be like, dang, dude, like I should have heard it, you know, like, damn. But for the most part, on a daily basis, it's just me ignoring it. Or, you know, I had a really bad point with it and I was really struggling. And one of my mentors gave me this statistic. It was like, 93% of people that hate you are more likely to follow everything you do than someone that likes you. Like, if you hate someone, you are like, you want to see what they're doing. Like, for
instance, every step of the way.
Your ex-girlfriend gets a new boyfriend, you're going to be looking at everything they do. Yeah. You're going to be checking her profile to see if she posts to them every day. You're going to be looking at everything. So like, once I got that in my head, it's like, if no one's hating me, then I'm not relevant. You know, like if no one cares about you and what you're doing, then you're not doing something right. So, you know, I see comments and things I struggle with still, but if you're not making waves, then you're not like, and you're not getting hate, then that means you're not doing it right.
Does the lack of privacy bother you?
I mean, it kind of comes with it, right? I knew what I was getting myself into. I do wish that people could be more respectful with when they come up to me sometimes, or like, you know, I might be eating and people are tapping on my shoulder and it's like, I'm a very nice dude. So it's hard for me to say no if like someone comes up to me, because first off, I'm just, you know, chill. Second off, I don't want them going and like posting a video of me looking like a dickhead and taking it out of context.
Which is insane, because that happens.
No, it happens, dude. It's really not fair, because people can take a whole video and it's like, someone could tap on my shoulder and be like, no, I can't right now, but I will after I'm done eating. And they cut that part out. And it's like, no, like, I can't.
Griffin's a dick. Yeah.
And then it's like, Griffin's a dick, when in all reality, I said, you know, I can do it after, but they cut that out because if they make me look bad, then it's going to get more views.
And they can't sell it to Worldstar.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, people love hating on people more than they do loving on people. It's just how it goes, dude. Like, that's why hate doesn't like bother me as much anymore. It's like, if there was a video and you put them side by side and it was making me look like a good guy and making me look like a bad guy, the one that makes me look bad is going to double the one that makes me look good every single time. Every time.
100%. And I think, like you said, at least you went into it knowing that sort of comes with it versus other people. Like, if you're going into that space, I guess it's one of the perks and one of the downsides. You have to expect sort of public pushback.
Yep. You just have to be smart with it and like just play your cards right. And, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I don't go out because I don't do something or do something stupid, you know?
Because you can't take out your frustration in private. If you go out, somebody's going to know you and video you.
Dude, like, people tell me you've never had a bad day where you go out and do something, you just don't want to deal with people and you're kind of an asshole.
And you regret it after, but I can regret it after knowing that it will never be seen again. You'll regret it after scrolling through videos, seeing yourself doing it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So it is what it is.
Totally. And how's it been living with the guys? You guys having fun?
It's loud, as you can tell. I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah, it's like my apartment. It's chaos. Living with five other dudes is interesting.
It's fun. Like, it's a great life experience. And like, I feel like we've all, you know, gained and had a really good time with it. There's always struggles, you know. Sometimes you just want to be alone, or sometimes you want it to be quiet, or like, sometimes you don't want your stuff touched. Or your leftovers eaten, like things like that. But like, it's all just, honestly, Sway and the boys, we've never had a fight with each other to where it's like, we don't talk again.
Yep. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And I think that's, once again, comes back to great learning lessons. Like, living with a bunch of people and figuring out how to deal with it is something you're going to need to know how to do, or it definitely helps to know how to do. The topic that I've been waiting the longest to talk about, because it's most important, your dog.
Right.
I'm going to take credit for being integral behind the naming of your dog. Although you didn't go with my name, I was there. I thought Turbo would have been a dope name, but that got voted down. Turbo would have been dope, but I guess it's not girly enough.
Yeah, I mean, if it was if Brooklyn were to be a boy, definitely Turbo would have been up there. I like Turbo.
Yeah, Turbo's a cool name. I think that's going to be my next dog. Well, how is Brooklyn?
Dude, I don't even. Oh, she is. Dude, she doesn't leave me ever.
What a beast.
She's chilling down here waiting on me. She's getting big, dude. I'm not going to lie. Since I've had her for the past 3 weeks, she's probably doubled in size.
It's insane.
So I'm getting a little worried because she's not such a little puppy anymore. And I know that you know, because they have that weird like teenage stage from like 6 months to like a year and a half. And I know she's going to get like skinny and tall and long and not be as like cute and fluffy. So I'm just waiting for that period. I'm kind of sad about it, but we got...
You got a couple more runs left before you got to deal with that.
Yeah. So I'm just enjoying the moment now.
And has having a puppy been nice to chill out? Get an escape, come back. You also have a shitload of responsibility.
Yeah. That's when I wake up sometimes and there's like pee in her kennel and I have to clean it out. And it's like, dude, I need to start my day. It's like 8 a.m. rushing because I woke up and slept the extra 5 minutes. And then I'm like, what's that smell? And then I realize she peed. And then it's like, dude, come on.
Great. But start for the most part, I have to come out. I'm less excited about seeing you and Michael, more excited about meeting your dog.
Dude, everyone loves her, dude. She's literally like so chill for a puppy. I'm not going to lie. I got really blessed.
And she's finally getting trained?
Yeah, she's trained. She can shake. She can roll over. She can leave treats and stuff. She walks on a leash and doesn't like, she'll ride in my car for hours, dude.
That's
just
awesome.
Sit there.
That's so sick.
So I'll bring her up here, actually. She's chilling underneath me. Dude,
she's a beast. She's like, she's so cute.
She's so chill, dude. Like, she's just
she's not even. She's just chilling. What a beast.
Like, look, dude.
What a just beast! That's gonna be the cover of our podcast. That screenshot of her and you, unreal. She's a beast. the dog is the coolest part of this White House. Well, now there's a bunch of dogs in the house. There's like three. Well,
now we have two.
Who is it? It's yours and who else has a dog?
Josh.
Got it. Do they get along?
Well, Jaden had a dog and then it turned into this like weird situation. And now the dog's like with someone else. It just got really awkward. Like in that situation. So now we have two dogs.
Do the two dogs get along?
Yeah. Buddy's a lot bigger than Brooklyn right now. So sometimes they kind of go at it, but.
Won't be for long. You got to train Brooklyn.
I know. Well, that's what I'm waiting on. Because low-key Brooklyn has a lot of built up anger, I think, towards Buddy.
So she can't wait to take it out on him in a bit when she's big?
Yeah, we're going to see. I'm actually interested to see what happens.
That's so dope. Last question before I let you run. I know that Michael keeps you very busy, so he won't let you get a free minute. But before we wrap up, what would be your advice? It doesn't matter if it's a TikTok creator or somebody getting into business. Like, I think you're a perfect example of like literally something can happen quickly and you need to be prepared for if that happens. What's your advice for somebody trying to break into the media industry, the social industry, like just getting involved?
I mean, you know, I think... you know, on like a little bit of like non-humble terms, I think I was being too nice and sold it a little bit short. Like, you know, there, it wasn't just all like, oh, I'm just making TikTok videos. Oh, here's like an equity deal. Like
there's intention behind it.
Yeah. You have to like set yourself up. You don't have to necessarily know everything about business and investing and like, but you know, we got these deals when we started hustling, like, when we started seeing deals being structured or like things that we could be valuable in and use our platforms to build. And once we started doing that, people caught on. They're like, these kids have a platform. These kids can drive numbers. And we kind of came up with examples of like products we were working on or things we had done that have shown we can convert numbers. And then we kind of like put it out into the market. So we didn't have a lot of like name or poll or like anything yet, but we kind of just threw it out there. Some business people caught on to it. And that's how we kind of got the deals. Like, we didn't exactly know everything, but we knew enough and kind of like pitched ourselves and kind of set ourselves up for that. Same with social media. It's a little bit different because it's all like kind of like a little bit of luck and a little bit of like taking the time to make good content and study the trends and see what works and what doesn't. But I would say someone for getting into social media, definitely find a niche. With TikTok, me and the boys got kind of lucky because we started it when it wasn't cool. There wasn't a lot of competition on the app. There was a few big creators that were from Musical.ly, but it was kind of dead. And I'm not going to lie, like I would never take credit for like making TikTok what it is. But when the boys and I went on a tour, that's when TikTok really took off. Like,
yeah,
I think we get enough credit. It was called the Lights Out Tour. That's whenever like things really started to take off.
How'd you meet them?
So there was a guy that created the tour for us, and I went to Playlist. So I had like 300K on TikTok, and I was friends with Anthony, Love Anthony, and Elmo, which he was the number one person on the app at the time. I kind of met them. They reached out to me and they convinced me to go to Playlist. And like, that's when I met everyone. And like the guy that was running the tour asked me to be on it. And then it kind of just like, I made all those friendships. Like, you know, Chase Hudson was one of my first friends, you know, Anthony, Elmo. And then I met people along the way and I met all the boys there. And that's kind of how it all took off.
That's wild. And yeah, one thing you said earlier, which I think is important when you were talking about it wasn't just luck. It's something people ask all the time. And I think it's obviously part of it's luck. But if you haven't put in all the work and the effort for when that luck hits, you're going to fall on your face. Like if you're given the opportunity, you need to be prepared to actually execute on it. And I think you guys are a great example of that. Well, first off, thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate it, dude. Where can people follow you and more importantly, your dog?
It's funny. I made hers, I'm Brooklyn Johnson, and mine's just I'm Griffin Johnston. That's for every platform for me. And she only has Instagram because I can't manage any more accounts right now.
Yeah, I think so. You got your hands tied. Well, Griffin, appreciate it. Guys, hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did.
Dude, thank you for having me on, Jesse. Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. As always, go join our community at join.trendsetterspodcast.com where you can get some exclusive content, including one question per episode that is not aired publicly, only to people that are part of our community, in addition to some weekly advice and news on the marketing and podcasting industry from me. Also, I'd love to hear your questions, comments, concerns, and anything else. So shoot me an email at jesse@trendsetterspodcast.com. And then you can always reach me on my Instagram at jesse.kay11. Thanks so much and looking forward to the next one.